Good morning. There are some folks here that you need to meet. Darwin and Kenesha Williams, will you please stand? They were baptized into Christ here just this past Wednesday evening. Thank you. They have three great kids, and you'll look forward to meeting them and making the whole family feel welcome here. We welcome everybody today, visitors and all. And I want to put some emphasis today on that last verse that Gentry read. I appreciate teenagers who will get up and read with feeling and interpretation. And particularly then, I want to call your attention to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. The scripture there talks about those who put their trust in the Lord and how they'll have strength. They'll soar like their own wings, like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not grow tired. Does that describe your life? You see, I believe it should. I believe that the Lord meant for us to have grand lives, lives of peace, happiness, joy. When I was at the Airline Drive Church of Christ in Bossier City preaching there, one of our elders refused to sing the chorus to "Our God, He is Alive." He would sing the stanzas down to the chorus and then he would freeze up. He said, "I can't sing that because it says we survive in Him. Survival means minimal existence. And we do so much more than just minimally exist." He's an English teacher. He was right. Now, I tried to point out that you've got to give any poet, any songwriter some license. And so when it gets back into the agenda and Chet leads it on Sunday morning, I hope you'll sing the whole song, including the word survive. I told Brother Stokes, the poet needed something to rhyme with alive, and he chose survive. Let it ride. I never did convince him. But I also prefer the wording of a song by Casting Crowns. You'll see the primary words on the screen, but I want to read the whole thing. "Here in this weary and worn land where many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the waters, we will never run dry. So living waters flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you known. We lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, made darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive." I want the words of the second stanza because I'm going to return to those a little bit later on. "Into your word, we're digging deep to know our Father's heart. Into the world, we're reaching out to show them who you are. So, living waters flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts, flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you known. We lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, made darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We're made to thrive." I also like the bridge that speaks of joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. And of course, you have to repeat that several times in a contemporary hymn. We were made to thrive. Let me show you some passages. Call them to your memory. I think every one of them be familiar to you. And all of these passages, I think, say that we were made to thrive. We're supposed to soar. And all of life with its problems, we're supposed to soar. First, Psalm 23. Jeff has just led us through a Wednesday night study of this and did a powerful job of breaking it down. "The Lord is my shepherd, and because He's my shepherd, I have no need. Everything is supplied." And then the psalmist talks about green pastures, still waters, my soul being restored, being led in the right path. What do you hear? A calmness, a security in the Lord. Maybe that's even more obvious as you get to the next one about, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Now, he mentions particularly the rod and the staff. Whatever particular tool is needed, God will use it to protect us. so that right in the face of death, I fear no evil, because he's there. I love the next figure about a feast being prepared right in the presence of my enemies, and they can only stand and look green with envy while I enjoy the banquet of the Lord. Are you enjoying this banquet? How about the oil anointing? That maybe was medicinal in the sheep shepherd relationship, but it's more than that. It is an anointing, a blessing. A cup of cold water. Surely, goodness. I prefer the version that says, God's loving, unfailing kindness. Surely, goodness and his unfailing kindness will follow me all the days, every day, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Leave David, come to the New Testament, find Jesus saying, I'm come that they may have life and have it to the full, John chapter 10. Go back to John chapter 4, and he's talking to the woman at the well. He says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water I give him will never thirst. It will become within him a well of water springing up into eternal life. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 as he says, in nothing be anxious. That's what we're fighting. That's the very word we're after today, the concept. Don't be anxious. In nothing be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go back to Philippians chapter 3 for, Ephesians chapter 3 for one more. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that he would grant you out of his riches, his power, through his Spirit, in your inner being, to the end that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong with all of the saints to comprehend what is the length and the breadth and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What do you hear in those passages? I believe that the Lord means for us to walk through life with an aura around us of peace and contentment. One of our favorite old songs says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. A little bit of heaven right here on earth. Fanny Crosby wrote that. Do you know that she was blind from age 6? She had some kind of eye problem, and a well-intentioned doctor put some poultice on her eyes and it scarred them. She couldn't see for the vast bulk of her life. And yet, blessed assurance, a foretaste of glory divine. Skip to the third stanza. Blessed assurance, all is at rest. I, in my Savior, am happy and blessed. Again, I ask, does that describe you? Is that where you are right now? Ah, that's what we're supposed to know, and then life. Life happens. It may be a serious illness. It may be a tickle in your throat that you can't get rid of. It may be some serious problem. You lose your income. You don't know how you're going to feed your children. It may be the death of a loved one. Anyone who's lived very long has faced one of those life problems. Do you still soar? I believe that we're supposed to be able to. I believe at that point we are designed to soar, made to thrive. But how do you do that? Well, let's go back to our passage in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. I had the teenagers, or specifically gentry, read that from the New International Version. Those who put their trust in the Lord are those who trust in the Lord. The King James is those who wait upon the Lord. Will mount up, they'll soar like eagles. Wait on the Lord. What does that mean to you? I know what it is to wait at the doctor's office. My appointment was 30 minutes ago. Wait, wait. I'm not very patient when I'm waiting like that. It's not the same thing. That's not the idea. The actual Hebrew word there is kova, and it means to bind together. Those who are bound together with the Lord will have that strength. Never weary, never tired, keep going. Leonard Allen has written a book entitled Poured Out. I recommend it. It's about the Holy Spirit and what He does. Now, a moment ago, we were in Ephesians chapter 3, where he talks about, I pray that He will strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Leonard does a lot of work in his book on the history of how theologians have looked at the Holy Spirit, who He's been, how He's been referred to. I like particularly one of his chapters entitled Soaring. And he suggests this very thought, that right in the middle of all of life's problems, we are made to soar because of this whole life that the Lord has built for us. And so right through the valley of the shadow of death or whatever else, we walk calm. All is at rest inside of us. Let me point you to another phrase that's used in the Scriptures that I think in many ways is similar. How many times do you find in the Scriptures, be still? Maybe the most famous one is Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Maybe that means literally quit pacing the floor, quit wringing your hands, be still in physical ways, but it's much more than that. It's down on the inside. I imagine every one of us at one time or another has been late for an appointment. It was an appointment we couldn't be late for, and so we're driving too fast, and we're weaving, and we come to the traffic light, and it's red, and we're bouncing up and down the seat, and you hit on the steering wheel. You know the traffic light will change from red to green faster if you'll hit the steering wheel, don't you? Instead of that anxious, hassled, and hurried feeling, drain it all out. Drain it all out. Do what you can to be on time. But it is what it is. It changes your entire perspective. Now, can we bring that over into all of life? And when we're hassled and hurried, come back to peace. When we're troubled, when we're concerned with something, can you drain it all away? Well, obviously, it's easier said than done. So finally this morning, I want to call your attention to some very practical, I think they're practical, I hope you find them practical, ideas for how to be knit together with the Lord, wait, be still, and enjoy that life that the Lord has built for us. First, let's go back to the song by Casting Crowns for these practical ideas. Into your word we're going, digging deep to know the Father's heart. Get into the word. That's my first practical suggestion. Or the way I phrase it, and you'll see it on the screen, is get the word into you. Get into the word, get the word into you. Nothing will replace knowing God's word. But it isn't a matter of memorizing some verses. It isn't a matter of learning all the laws and knowing where not to go and how to step correctly. It's learning the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 says the Word of God is living and active. If you pick up a history book, you can read it and learn some facts. If you pick up the Bible, you'll learn some facts, but you'll learn much more. You get life. It was Peter who said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Those words are alive. It is the Spirit who gave the word, and the Spirit is alive in the word and alive in us. And that life itself is what makes life so beautiful around us. Second, stick with Casting Crowns and their song. Into the world we're going to tell them who you are. The more I tell my story, the more easily I'll rely on the Lord. Everyone who's lived very long has faced one of life's cruel blows, and you got through it. Christians got through it somehow. Maybe it laid you out flat and you thought, I'll never smile again, or I won't be able to take another step. But you did. And that strength that got you through wasn't from yourself. It was from the Lord. Tell your story. Tell what the Lord has done for you. Tell of what faith has meant for you. Third, nothing replaces prayer. Talk to the Lord. Get to the point where it's natural. Anytime you have a great mountaintop experience or one of those valleys, you talk to the Lord about it. You know, once in a while I find someone who says, well, I don't know how to pray. Just talk to him. Tell him what's on your heart. Hopefully you had a loving parent that you loved to sit and talk with. Think of that very same concept. Just talk to the Lord. Go back to Philippians chapter 4. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And then what? Then, when you do that, the peace of God that forms a sentinel around your heart will protect it, guard it. But it comes as a result of prayer. Fourth, I want to say control what you think about. Now, I put it on the screen in very positive language from the Scripture. Think about these things. You see, we often excuse ourselves, I think, by saying, oh, I just can't seem to control my thoughts. I get started down the road and I'm angry about something and I just get... Yes, you can control it. You can too. I didn't say it was easy. But yes, you can too. You choose what you think about. Go back to Philippians chapter 4, and right after he's just said, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Then he says, finally. And the word finally in that case doesn't mean this is the last thing I'm going to say. It is, here's the bottom line. Here's the most important thing. Finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. He adds in verse 9, the things that you have heard from me, seen in me, learned from me, do these, and the God of peace will be with you. I know we can control our thoughts because he said we can. He instructed us to. Think about these things. I have two specific areas that I would warn about. Watch talk radio. Be careful with it. Those hosts try to get you stirred up about something. That's how they get viewers. That's how they get sponsors. That's how they get paid. I actually had a friend down in Hearst who was told by his counselor, you've got to stop listening to talk radio, because he was anxious. Get out of it. Leave it alone. You get very far into talk radio today, you'll either hate the Congress or hate the president, depending on which side of it you're on. And you lose that peace and joy that the Lord meant for you to have. Second specific area that I would mention is sports. Be careful with sports. I like a diversion. I like my college football. Have you known of people who actually hated the fans of the other team? Have you known of Christians who are rude to other Christians because they rooted for the other team? The word fan comes from fanatic. Don't be fanatic except for the Lord. Now, what I did in naming those two areas, hopefully we can take to any other area and say, know who the Lord is. Think on positive things. Never get involved in something that's going to take you away from the Lord. I believe we're down to number 5, aren't we? Continue to grow all your days. I know there's the possibility of being so discontented that we say, I'm terrible. I just don't know all I ought to know. I don't want to go there at all. But I do want to say, never stop. Never stop. Listen to Peter. He says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. He says, if these things are in you in ever increasing measure, They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he that lacks these things is blind. He cannot see afar off. He's forgotten that he was once purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. If you do them, keep growing all your days. One more thought. Trusting the Lord is a learned art. Learn to trust. We trust Him because of what He's done. And so we remember, we see His promises, and we learn to trust. When life throws one of its curveballs, you know who you can trust. And if you've been doing that all along, it's so much more natural. Rather than leaning on ourselves, we learn to lean on the Lord. Lastly, this morning, I want to take you back to a passage that I hope is familiar to you. 9 verses. Dan, don't bring up the passage until I get down to the last 3. Just listen. See if what you hear isn't exactly what I've been describing this morning and what's been in all of these other passages. Paul writes to the Romans, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Is God who gave us His only Son, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? It's God that justifies. Who is He that condemns? It's Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather that was raised from the grave, who is at the right hand of God and who makes intercession for the saints. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or anguish, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor... you fill in the blank, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dear Father, we give You our thanks for that beautiful life that You prepared for us. Help us to see it. Help us not to be blinded by the problems of life. Help us to keep our focus on You so that we know that blessed assurance, that peace, that joy. We give You all the praise and all the thanks. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.